Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from the latter half of today's gospel and the verses that follow. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped the Lord and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, every once in a while, I guess, you know, if you get on a website, and mine was happened to be, I think, the Humane Society or something like that, you know, there's some kind of artificial intelligence that tracks that and realizes that's what you're interested in, and so they want to, you know, put all the ads around those kind of things and send those to you. Well, that happened to me. And the one video I keep getting over and over again is this video of a guy, I'll call him the dog sitter. Okay, I don't know if you've ever seen these, but he goes, a young guy, he goes to these humane societies around the country, and he finds the most broken dog in the place, or several of them, and he just goes in to the kennel, into the cage with the dog, and just sits with it. And these are dogs that in many cases are like half starved to death, depressed, incredibly sad. They're just there shaking. They were abandoned or beaten or whatever. And their entire trust that they had with human beings has basically just been shattered. And he sits there with them. Doesn't make any eye contact at first. And eventually he does. And then he tries to get them to eat a treat or something. And then he'll try to pet it, you know, and rub its head or something like that, just to try to break down some of this brokenness. And if things are all right, then he does what he calls the scoop. Okay, he just goes in and scoops the dog up and puts him in his arms, and the dog is just shaking, usually. Now, I know, of course, how it's going to turn out. I mean, there's like a million viewers for these videos, okay, and they're all dog lovers, obviously. So you know the dogs that are put on video are going to get snapped up right away to a nice home, and that's fantastic. Dog doesn't know that, though. If you want to put it in biblical terms, there's kind of a veil that's been put over the dog because of this broken trust. And because of that, the dog can't see anything good coming from this, now or even in the future. I kind of thought maybe that's the way the disciples should have acted when Jesus ascended into heaven. Jesus on that day took his disciples out about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. One account says it's Bethany, this one, and another account says Mount Olivet. They're basically the same place. And Luke gives us an account of it in Acts, and he also gives us an account in his gospel. Now, in this gospel, it's very simple, okay? He just focuses on the goodbye. Jesus is blessing the disciples, and as he's doing this, he ascends into heaven, is taken from them. And then it says the disciples worshipped him. Yeah, that makes sense. But then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And for me, that never made any sense whatsoever. For 3 years, their entire lives have been Jesus. Now, he's their friend. He's their protector. He's their healer. He's their teacher. He's their savior. He's their Messiah. He's everything. So when he died, that was a huge shock to them. And even after he rose from the dead, it's still a shock because he's not there all the time. Every once in a while, he just pops in, right? And has a few words for them, then pops out again. Must have really raised the old blood pressure, right? Never knowing when he was going to pop in or pop out. And then after he ascends, guess what? They don't see him again. That had to be a horrible feeling, I would think. I would think Luke would have written something like, "And they returned to Jerusalem, worshiping God, but also incredibly sad, incredibly confused, and incredibly frightened." It'd be like a dog that would be abandoned on the side of the highway, wouldn't know where they are, wouldn't know what to do, wouldn't know how to get home, wouldn't even know if there was a home anymore. And yet that's not what it says. It says the disciples rejoiced. There has to be a reason for that. And the reason is found in the text I read in the end of our text today. Because one thing Jesus did when he rose from the dead that we often forget about, it's incredibly important. He didn't just prove to them that he had risen, right? He didn't just, like in with Peter, forgive him and reinstall him as an apostle. He also opened up the scriptures to them, so they could not just read the scriptures, but now understand the scriptures, and especially understand Jesus' place in the scriptures. Not only that, their minds were also open to remember everything that Jesus had said and done, and to finally understand what it means the right way. And this main goal of Jesus leads to the three reasons, I think, that they did rejoice, even though Jesus left them. The first is, they remember Jesus saying he would come again. If I go prepare a place for you, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and therefore I'm going to come and take you where I am, right? They remembered that. They understood what it means. So they knew that in some point in the future, there would be a reunion. And certainly that's something to be joyful for. Still, he's not there. I mean, if my best friend told me that he was going to leave and he would come back in 10 years, I'd say, well, great, I'm glad you're coming back in 10 years. And then he leaves, and I go back to my home. I wouldn't go back rejoicing. I'd go back sad because I wouldn't see him for 10 years. Why weren't the disciples sad? Why did they feel the sting of separation? I think a big reason is because they realized that Jesus ascending into heaven was good for him. The one Jesus loved the most was his Father. And the one the Father loved the most is his Son. And so the Son returning to his Father after having kept his will perfectly must have been an incredible reunion. It was something Jesus longed for throughout his life, especially the 3 years of his ministry. Especially as he hung on the cross and say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now he was coming back to the God, the Father, who was accepting him. It had to be a wonderful reunion. But not only was it good for Jesus, it's also good for us because of what Jesus did. He ascended to heaven and is sitting at the right hand of God, right? Why? So that he can be the mediator between ourselves and God. God takes his disciples and each and every one of us, and he brings us to the throne of his Father, and he says, Father, I died for this person. I love that person, I've forgiven that person, and now that person is your child. And God the Father says, amen. Now, that's probably not the exact words you're going to hear when you go into paradise, but it's going to be pretty close. And yet Jesus does that for us on a daily basis. And also, he sits at the right hand of the Father with all power and all authority in heaven and on earth so that he can conquer our enemies. And our enemies are sin, death, and the devil. The devil has no power over us. The only power he has, just like with the dog, is to put a veil over our eyes so that all the temporal things and the temporary things in this life seem more than permanent and put a darkness on our life. And when that happens, we don't live our eternal lives now like we're supposed to be. We just survive. We just exist. Whenever I see these videos, that's what the dogs are like. I mean, they're not living a happy-go-lucky doggy life like they're supposed to, right? They're just surviving. They're just living. They're just making it through day to day, trying to stay alive. Now, I'm just a positive person. Then again, I've just tried to do the math about how many people are viewing these, so I have a positive outlook, but I've never actually seen one, okay? And you know why? I could see the outcome of each and every one of those dogs, but you know what I'd have to do? I'd have to subscribe to their website, okay? I don't like doing that. I get enough stuff already, all right? If I subscribe to their website, oh, yeah, you get to see the ending of all these happy endings. But because I'm not going to subscribe to it, all I really see is someone doing a kind deed. I see a little change in the dog. and I can hope for something better. Now, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, and by the way, his ascension, I know this is probably not the best way to put it, but Jesus has subscribed to a certain service, and that's the service of our eternal lives. He's opened our eyes to see Scripture. He's taken the veil off us so that we remember what he said and what it means for us. And so we know where our Savior is. We know that he is at the right hand of the Father, and we know that he is also with us always. Why? Because he said so. We know what he's doing up there. He's the mediator between ourselves and God, and he's forgiving our sin every day. And we know that happens because he said it. We know who we are because of this, that we are children of God. And we're children of God because he said we are. And we can see our future. Because we can see the day when we are reunited with the God who loved us and created us, and with the Savior who made this reunion possible. I pray that God continue to be with us every day. And even as he's given us faith, that he daily removes that veil from us so that our faith can be active and we can truly live the eternal life we were meant to live, not just when we go to heaven, but today as well. In Jesus' name, amen.